Welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Well, it feels like deja vu all over again. The Philadelphia Eagles are playing for the NFC Championship for the third time in 3 years. The game is against the Carolina Panthers and will be played this Sunday evening at the Link. Eagles fans are hoping for a happy ending and a chance to win the Super Bowl, but in this town, you can never get your hopes up too far anyway. Coming up on Radio Times, it's illegal, but betting on sports is popular. We'll be talking about why the odds makers are giving the game to the Eagles. We'll also hear about their respective game plans from the sports editor of the Charlotte Observer and the sports editor for the Philadelphia Inquirer. But first,
I'm Bill Delaney.
I'm Robin Young.
Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now.
While Dr. Dean runs for president, the other doctor in the family works and raises the kids back in Vermont. We'll look at the debate around Judith Steinberg Dean.
And we review the film, Along Came Polly.
That's Public Radio's Midday News Magazine, here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Eagles fever has gripped the Delaware Valley, except here at WHYY 91 FM. Looking for your calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We are talking about the upcoming game against the Carolina Panthers for the NFC Championship. And we just said goodbye to Mike Persinger, a sports editor for the Charlotte Observer, and Jim Jenks, sports editor for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Joining us now is Coleman Strumpf, and he's a professor of economics at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, and he focuses a lot of his research on sports gambling, both legal and illegal. He's originally from Philadelphia, so we're wondering, Coleman Strumpf, are you rooting for the Eagles or for the Panthers?
I probably don't have any strong allegiances in this game. I'm just kind of hoping for a good game. But I'll definitely be watching, that much I'll say.
Okay, let me just give out the phone number. We're talking about the fact that there is a lot of betting on sports, some of it legal. In fact, I guess probably a minority of it legal, lots of it illegal. And we wanted to talk with Coleman Strumpf about how those odds are made and what various ways that people have to vote on or actually to bet on games like the upcoming game this Sunday. And again, that phone number, 1-888-477-9499. Coleman, is it possible to figure out how much of betting is legal and how much is illegal?
Yeah, it's tough to do, but the sort of rough guesses that people have made say that probably less than 1% of bets on sporting events is in the legal market. And one reason for that is sports betting is legal in the U.S. only in Nevada. So you can't do this in Atlantic City, and at least according to the way the Department of Justice interprets things, you can't do this legally over the internet. So most people who are doing betting are doing it with a corner bookie or something like that, and it's mostly illegal.
Well, and I was wondering, I'm assuming we're talking about things like office pools, using bookies, using the internet. Are these the illegal ways of betting on sports?
Yeah, the predominant amount at this point is still a bookie that you get on the phone and call, or you maybe meet at a bar or something like that. Some of it is also through office pools and through the internet, but most of it's still these kind of old, traditional old-fashioned bookies that you might have seen in movies or something.
But I get the feeling though that sports betting is just exploding.
Kind of yes and kind of no. To give a sense of the numbers, there was a federal commission that met a couple years ago, and they came up with numbers on the order of about somewhere between $100 and $400 billion a year bet on sports, which is just a humongous number. And it's probably grown a decent amount, but it's always been very large. And it's just kind of, because it's always been hard to kind of gauge how big it is, because as I said, most of it's illegal, and it's kind of hard to know exactly how much activity is going on.
Now, I read that the point spread, they're giving it to the Eagles, but the point spread is 4 points. How is that determined?
Well, it's typically determined through, initially determined through an organization called Las Vegas Sports Consultants, which is run out of Las Vegas, obviously.
Right.
And they, through not particularly sophisticated means, pretty much bouncing some numbers around, sort of think, you know, about, well, let's think about the Eagles-Panthers game. Let's kind of bounce some numbers off each other. And they come up with an initial line, which I think for this game was Eagles by about 5 or 5.5.
Uh-huh.
And then what they would typically do is they or one of their customers, who are the casinos or bookmaking operations in Las Vegas, contact some of their bigger bettors that they know and say, well, if we offered you this line, say a 5.5 points favorite for the Eagles, what side would you take? And based on what those guys do, they kind of move the line around a little bit. And then at that point, the casino start offering, or the sports book starts offering it to the general public, and it continues to move around. So again, for the game this weekend, as I said, the Eagles started off as about 5 or 5.5 point favorites and are now down to about 4 points, which probably indicates that people thought that spread was too unfavorable, that the Eagles weren't quite that good.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it doesn't sound particularly sophisticated. How much do they look at stats? How much do they look at things like home field advantage or even things like weather? It's about 15 degrees today
right.
in Philadelphia. It's supposed to be a little bit warmer on Sunday, but is this factored into the point spread?
Well, at least the way they initially said it, I mean, as I said, there's no sort of formal, you know, I would have guessed there'd be sort of a much more formal process,
right,
taking into account all these things that you've mentioned. But I think the interesting thing is, despite the pretty unsophisticated way in which this thing gets established, as I said, the way the line adjusts over the course of the week is basically, you know, based on how the betting public is behaving, which is, of course, the betting public is taking into account all these factors that you mentioned. And it's really pretty remarkable that the final line, which will probably be around 4 points, is usually about the best predictor you can possibly have of the actual game outcome.
Now, why is that, though? Why does that end up being the best predictor?
Well, I mean, this is again, now sort of we're back in my realm, which is economics.
Right.
I mean, this is, in some sense, just it's a market, and the way the market is performing is it's sort of, you know, letting anyone who wants to participate in the market participate, and it's basically aggregating up all the information of all the bettors who are participating, and sort of in aggregate, all the bettors kind of have a good sense of what's going on, and that's basically what the final line is reflecting. In other words, if the final line was wrong in some sense, some smart bettor would come in, take advantage of that line, and make a big bet.
So the closer you get to the game, the more realistic then the point spread becomes.
Well, right. And again, that just might simply be the fact that we know more as we get closer to the game.
Right.
Just like you said, you know, we know a little bit more about the weather now than we did, say, on Monday.
Well, let me just reintroduce you. And we're talking today on this hour of Radio Times, getting ready for the Eagles game. And we wanted to talk to Coleman Strumpf. He's a professor of economics at the University of North Carolina, to talk about the point spread and the fact that there's a lot of betting on football, a lot of betting on this game in particular. 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. And a lot of his research focuses on sports gambling, both legal and illegal. Let me just get Mike to join us, and he's calling us from Paoli. Mike, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hello, thanks for taking the call, Marty.
Sure, go ahead.
I have a theory about what the points represent. And many times, in certain games, I don't know if this is one, it represents what the square bettor will look as a premium opportunity. They'll go with one team because it looks like such an obvious call. And in this game, I think the obvious call is to go take the points and to go with Charlotte. And I think the Eagles are going to win big time against Charlotte. Everyone's predicting a close game. I think that'll be the lever that the average bettor will use to say, okay, it was a close game against Green Bay. I'm going to go with Charlotte. And I think if you can find out the contrarian point of view, if you understand, if you can
sure.
identify that, then you'll go the other way. And how I read this, Eagles win big time. New England squeaks by against Indianapolis. The Eagles go in as about a 6-point underdog in the Super Bowl. And that's the problem for the Eagles. Because the average bettor will go with the Eagles with six or seven points, and that's a problem, because I think that'll be the indicator that New England will win the Super Bowl. So I hope New England wins big time. I hope the Eagles win big time, and the point spread is very close for the Super Bowl.
Well, and Mike, we're losing you a little bit, but it's interesting, Coleman, to hear how his psychology mixes in with the kind of calculations about who's going to win big, who's going to win small,
right,
and how that's going to get played out at the Super Bowl.
Right, and let me just, for the listeners who Mike used an expression called a square
batter,
which some people might not know, that's kind of, a square batter are sort of the guys who don't really know very much, or very unsophisticated bettors, and like might be, you know, just an Eagles fan, for example, who don't really know very much about betting. The caller raised a lot of really good points, and the response, I guess, in some sense I have to that is there are a lot of people who might behave in this fashion, you know, using psychology or this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, these guys aren't really the people who are sort of setting these final lines.
Right.
In other words, the people who set the final lines in terms of the way the market is behaving are either relatively large investors or people who are a little sharper in some sense.
And I would think that the sports fans would make lousy bettors then, because you're blinded by your love or your loyalty to a team.
Oh, I think that's exactly right. In other words, I can tell you from my own personal experience, I sometimes go out to Las Vegas to bet, particularly on college basketball. And I think without any doubt, when I go and do this, I am the least sports knowledgeable person in the room. In other words, I'll come down, sit in the sports betting area, and people have all the Sports Illustrated and all the information out in front of them, and I kind of just approach it like an economist or a finance person, and I actually end up doing relatively well doing that, but I sort of often end up sitting next to guys who know quite a bit about these teams but don't know very much about betting and end up losing quite a bit of money.
Oh, that's interesting. And there's a lot of superstition as well. You'd mentioned Sports Illustrated, and Donovan McNabb is on the cover, and there's a belief about if you're on the cover of the Sports Illustrated that jinxes you as an athlete, which I guess that gets kind of folded into the bet that people make. Let me get Robert from Swarthmore to join us. Robert, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, yes. I guess I would be one of those square bettors, because I haven't bet on sports games before. In poker, I know that would also be called dead money.
Uh-huh.
But given that I'm a square bettor, I guess the question I have, and I understand in financial markets how this works, but how does a bookie make money? And to keep this tied to the Eagles, I guess I'll phrase it in terms of the Eagles game. If there's a 4-point spread, how does that translate into what goes into the bookie's pocket?
No, it's a great question, Robert. Coleman Strumpf, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, actually, ironically, a little bit more about illegal bookies, because I've actually have access to the books of some of these guys. The chief way in which these illegal bookies make money is through charging a commission on bets, which is basically 10% if you win, or roughly 5% of the bet. So at least the way some people view this is if a bookie, for example, could get even amounts of money on both sides of the game, so he would pay out the same amount regardless of whether the Panthers or the Eagles win, he would basically collect this on net 5% commission. So if there's a $100 bet, he would get to keep $5. So that's the typical way in which he can make money. Another way sometimes that bookmakers make money is they don't go with this approach of getting equal action on both sides, is what's called a balanced book. Sometimes they decide, well, look, I don't really think this line is correct. I actually think the Eagles are a better team than this 4-point favorite. And so they would, for example, want to get more people betting against the Eagles,
right,
for example. And then if the Eagles win, they would not only collect the commissions, but then they would collect some extra money in terms of paying out a bit less to the folks who had won the bet.
Yeah, Robert, thanks for calling in. And I just have a couple of questions, and I'm also watching the clock here. We do have some callers as well, Coleman. But there are also all sorts of side bets that people can do, and there's this over-under bet that people can do. Can you just give us a thumbnail sketch of some of the other bets that go on?
Yeah, there's an incredible array of bets. So the most popular one you just mentioned is an over-under bet where you basically are betting on the point total for the game. So typically, for example, weather is an important factor in over-under. If the weather gets cold, it's typically harder to score points. And so you might, so an under bet says, you know, if it's a 37-point over-under game, if the sum of the points scored by the two teams is less than 37 or something, then you would win that bet.
Right.
What's impressive is there's this incredible array of complicated bets where you can kind of link different things together. You could say, well, I want to have the bet on the Eagles to win relative to the spread, and I also want the over-under, and you can link these, for example, in something called an if bet, so which would say, if the Eagles win, then I take the winnings from that bet and invest it in an over-under bet.
Huh.
It gets very complicated very fast, is about all I can say.
Well, and do people, is it possible to bet on every play, to say, I bet that Donovan McNabb's going to throw the ball?
It depends on your bookmaker. It would be difficult to typically do in most games. Now, in the Super Bowl particularly, you can bet on everything. So, for example, last year, I know on internet sites, you could bet, for example, on what was the first song played during the halftime.
Show. Oh, is that right?
But yeah, pretty much almost, I wouldn't quite say every play, but pretty much almost every combination of reasonable things you could think of, you could bet on.
Wow.
So there's a lot out there.
So, I mean, it's interesting having this conversation in light of Pete Rose's final admission that he bet on baseball. Are you concerned that all this betting is going to contaminate the game?
Well, I mean, in terms of betting by players, that's one problem. And that's something that, in principle, could have some influence on the integrity of the game. Betting by individuals, though, I have no real particular concern for. In other words, in the past, illegal bookmakers have at least, or legal bookmakers have in part been the first to know about when something was wrong with a game. In other words, imagine what happens if somebody tries to fix a game.
Yeah.
Well, then they start trying to bet very heavily, for example, say in Las Vegas. Well, the guys who are running the sports books see this. They would see a very surprising flow of money on one team. That means that they're probably the first to know that there's something wrong with the game. So, in fact, you know, the availability of sports betting in some sense, and somebody who's, for example, if the NFL would actually talk to these people, which they don't, the betting guys in Las Vegas, this would be a way for them to actually know whether somebody's trying to monkey around with the game. So
at any rate,
in general, it's not something I think is a problem.
Well, I thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Coleman Strump, professor of economics at the University of North Carolina.